Darren Mougee and Aaron Glenn. But obviously, I agreed with our last caller, that 17-year-old who was skipping school, which is that the Jets are the worst franchise in all of sports. So let us hear from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mougee. What we will do is we will hear the questions and answers, and then we'll pause it and give you our initial responses to each of the answers. If we find it boring, we'll skip around. So ladies and gentlemen, let's hear the first question for Aaron Glenn / Darren Mougee.
Darren, I think the question on every fan's mind, and it's probably the same question that's been asked to every GM before you, is just how are you going to fix the quarterback situation?
Yeah, I understand the question, and that process starts yesterday and today and throughout the week, as we'll have a lot of discussions internally. And I can tell you this, we'll exhaust every option. You know, free agency, the league, obviously the draft, we will exhaust that and have a good solution for the New York Jets.
As far as...
Oh, he's going to exhaust every option. So it's not just the draft. It could be free agency. It could be the trade market. Good, because the quarterback position has sucked for a million years.
Quarterback, what was the thinking in signing Justin Fields, anointing him the starter, giving him 2 years, $40 million, when he had a 14-30 record as a starter entering the offseason?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I understand the question. Yeah, we had a clear vision for Justin, a good plan. Now, obviously, the season didn't go as planned, and that's for many reasons. There's not one person, player, coach, system of why we end up with three games, but that's part of this week's process is of diving in and really reflecting on the season and the lessons learned moving forward.
Yeah, basically, I have no answer. It's not just him. He was a part of it, but a lot of things suck this season.
I'm going to give him slight credit here. He's already dismissing the idea Justin Fields even on this team.
He's not on this team.
Right, but other guys and other GMs in this town would have not acknowledged the mistake right away and would have said, yeah, he's still a guy in the plans.
Yeah, that would have insulted our intelligence. So you're right. It's good that Darren Mougee's basically being honest about that.
Yeah.
What's your evaluation of the way the quarterbacks played this year?
Yeah, we're going through that process this week as the whole roster. We're going to evaluate every position on the team. And obviously, we got to be better. We got to be better at several spots, quarterback included.
That's the one thing that we'll actually start going tomorrow. And I know the question that you were about to ask. Justin's on the contract. Brady's on the contract. But when it comes to quarterback, we're going to always have the best guy. And that's always been the plan from the beginning. The guy that gives us the best chance to win. But to answer your question, he's on the contract.
Is that the answer that you didn't want?
Exactly. He jumped in to interrupt Mougee to give the answer you hated. Aaron, just let your GM speak. He had it handled.
You don't have to give us the he's under contract card. Like, we know he's under contract. And by the way, you're not fooling any general manager out there by tipping your hand that he's not going to be on the team next year.
You obviously need to hire a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
I'm curious, what are you looking for in that job, and are you prioritizing guys' play calling experience? Like, what's kind of your approach?
to give you an overall just perspective on what the plan is. And Moose just talked about yesterday was all about the players and talking to the players. Tomorrow I'll be talking to the staff as far as the players are concerned. And at that point, man, that's when I really started to dig into the evaluation of the whole roster, the whole coaching staff, and really start to figure out, like, how can I get better also? And I actually start with that, my own self-reflection. And then when it comes to the coaches, man, I like to be aggressive. I want to make sure that wherever the guy that we do have in, that there's a lot of synergy between me and that coach. And I'm not saying that it wasn't synergy between me and Wilkes. It's just I want to make sure as I go through this process that that's not a step that that I don't miss. And it'll be a number of coaches that we take a look at. And Moose will be a huge part of that because I do respect his opinion, and he has a good eye just for talent in general. And I want to make sure that it's collaborative between all of us. And we just want to get the best guy.
Aaron, when you say
it's important they get a good defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you a name right now, and I could sell you on how they can get him, is Brian Flores. And the way you can get him is A, he's a free agent. And B, if you're Brian Flores, who is from this town, who is a New Yorker, he also could say, boy, I come in here and I kill it. I'll just take over the job if Aaron Glenn fails. I'll turn this into my head coaching job. So I think it's a chance for Brian Flores. I know there were rumors about Vegas, and he may get head coaching opportunities. Obviously, if he gets a head coaching opportunity, this wouldn't happen. But I think, would he spend the money? Bring in the best defensive coordinator available in Brian Flores. That'll change our view on this team.
I'd never leave a competitive team for the Jets from Brian Flores for a DC.
A lot of money, potential to be the next head coach.
You could be the potential to be the head coach if you still stay with the Vikings.
What was that?
You could be the next head coach of the Jets with another year with the Vikings.
Your potential is greater with the Jets. Think about the year that Aaron Glenn just had.
Yeah, so if you're on
his staff, potential is better with the Jets than any other team. Am I wrong?
I just think if you're the defensive coordinator of the Jets, the last thing the Jets should be doing if Aaron Glenn gets fired is just promoting from within.
I'm not saying that to ultimately what they would do.
Okay.
But I'm saying, why would Brian Flores be sold by New York? I'm giving you a couple of reasons.
Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. I wouldn't hate that. Did a pretty good job. All right, let's hear more.
Synergy. Do you mean in terms of how you guys mesh personally or in schematics?
I think that's, yeah, that has a lot to do with it. Personally, as far as fit, as far as how I see defense being played, all those things are huge because, and I've said this before, compatibility is just as important as coachability, you know, so I want to make sure that we see things the same way, and I want to make sure that we can vibe as far as sitting down talking about how we see football also.
Put that on a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Aaron Glenn would consider himself to call plays on defense. Let's hear more.
Quick follow on that is that when you hired Steve, he was someone who's done it before. He's a defense coordinator.
Yep.
How do you balance first-time guy who maybe you have experience with or you believe can do it compared to somebody who has done it before?
I mean, that's a really good question, and that's what I'm actually really evaluating as I go through that, is making sure that I'm really thorough on whoever that guy is an experienced guy that's done it before, or is it a guy that hasn't? And do I trust the fact that he can do it? And to me, that's something that I just don't sit up here and say that right now, that I go through the whole process and make sure that the answers that I'm really getting from that whole evaluation will be good enough answers to where I can pick this guy and say, okay, he's going to be the guy that can do it, if that makes sense.
You know what makes sense? Aaron Glenn completely hijacked the press conference. Like, it was all for Darren Mooji. I was kind of into it.
And he was starting to cook a little bit.
He was cooking. And then Aaron Glenn butted in about Justin Fields. And then everyone's like, oh, we'll talk to Aaron Glenn. We hear from Aaron Glenn every freaking week of the season. I'm done hearing from Aaron Glenn. I want to hear from Mooji, or as Joe calls him, Moohi. Anyhow.
I feel bad for Mooji.
Let's see who the next question's for. It better be Moohi.
How long do you think it will take to be competitive, to be respectable?
Good question, Bruce.
I believe we can be competitive and respectable right away next year.
Damn right.
Okay,
hold on. How is the follow-up? That's a great answer. Darren Mooji just told us we can be competitive and good next year. That's it. And then he moved on. How? Can you walk me through it, Darren? That better be the follow-up question.
What gives you that confidence? You said earlier you're the most confident. You know, we have more confidence now than ever. What gives you the confidence?
Because I've been here a year. I've learned a lot. We've learned a lot. I've got a clear vision. AG and I, like we said, we talk daily on this roster and the vision and this division. And with the assets we have moving forward, the draft capital, the cap space, I know we're going to continue to build and add good players to the team that are going to help us win.
Yeah. All right. Look, confidence from Darren Mooji.
Need a quarterback first.
Of course. Well, they need a lot, Sean.
Yeah, I understand that.
It is a bold statement, though, coming off of the year you came off of and also having traded Quinnen and Sauce and having a defense that was unrecognizable by the end of the year. It's kind of bold to say, yeah, we can be good next year.
Also set yourself up to fail, though.
Well, it sets us up to replay this clip come December and say what happened.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let me answer that also.
Oh, jeez.
he sucks.
As a rookie head coach and same thing as a GM, man, going through the first year and really understanding the landscape of everything, like that's a huge deal. You know, I will tell you that right now. And speaking of myself, man, there's a number of things I know that I'll be better at. And again, I'm still doing self-reflection, but I know for a fact there are a number of things. And the confidence that I have in Mooj, the confidence I have in our owner, the confidence I have in myself, the confidence I have in some of the foundational players that we have, that's where the confidence really comes from, you know, if that makes sense. And there's a clear vision. There's a clear plan on how we want to go about doing things. And you match that with Mooj, with our owner, the confidence I have myself with some of the foundational players that we have, that in itself, to me, gives like all the comfort in the world, man, that we're going to go in the right direction. Now, there's some things we got to fix. Absolutely,
yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
And we'll fix those. We'll attack those the way we have to. But overall, man, I have all the comfort in the world that we're going to do the things we have to do to be successful.
I mean, gee, the question was Muhy speaking. He just jumped in and like, I got more to say about how much better we're going to be.
And the problem with what he's saying is he doesn't actually say anything.
No.
Aaron Glenn is like if a cameo video became a head coach. He just says like a lot of motivational stuff, but nothing actually of substance.
It's a good one.
It's true.
It's a good one.
And Kevin, like, given your defensive background,
yep,
and given the way your quarterbacks perform this year, why should people feel confident that you have the infrastructure in place to pick a quarterback and develop him?
Yes, meaning.
You know what? That's a good question.
Damn right.
And we're going to exhaust everything that we can to make sure that we surround our quarterbacks now, and if we get any quarterbacks in the future, right, with the guys that's going to help them. And then again, that's a whole part of, man, making sure that we evaluate everything that's going on, make sure we have the right people here that can help the quarterback. And I'm not saying that we don't have that. You know, that's something that we have to continue to look at. So that's not a question I can sit there and say, listen, we have that. Listen, we're going to evaluate everything, and we're going to exhaust everything to make sure that we surround every one of our guys with the right staff, with the right strength and condition, with the right medical to make sure those guys are successful.
It's a part of why I've moved more into the area of go trade for a good veteran quarterback, because I do not trust Aaron Glenn in this administration to develop a young one.
When you watched the season unfold, what do you think went wrong? Why do you think you guys...
Like I said earlier, there's not one player, person, side of the ball that's to blame. It's an accumulation of several things. And we're in the process of really having deeper conversations so we get the right answers to that question.
Darren Moody, you know what I'm also noticing about this? This is a fun exercise. Aaron Glenn says a lot of stuff. Darren Moody doesn't. Like, he just gets to the point and we move on.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn goes in, and I think you did a really good job of explaining the whole cameo thing. Like, he goes on with inspirational stuff, and Darren's just like, let me get to the point and move on.
Right, that's it. This is what you, it's not a matter of whether you want to hear, he just tells it like it is, and that's it.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn fluffs up everything.
You're right.
Just stretch that, and I know a lot can change with the valuations and stuff between now and the NFL draft, but it was looking like for a while, if you guys were picking 4, 5, 6, if you wanted to get up there to draft a quarterback that might go 1 or 2, you're going to have to move a ton of assets to go and do it. I guess the one benefit of the way that this thing kind of bottomed out is that you guys don't have to do that. Like, you're going to be sitting there at number 2.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a luxury is that these assets that you worked so hard to accumulate this year, you can theoretically now use them all for yourselves, not trade them to go up?
Yeah, no, it's nice to know we'll be picking at 2. But before we get to the draft in several months, I mean, there's a lot of internal, you know, discussions and studies, and obviously our roster first, and then free agency, then evaluating the draft in depth to know where what we'll do with that pick and those assets, but there's no doubt it feels good just to know where you're at it too.
I don't think it matters in terms of getting to 1. Now, I think it matters in terms of trading up in the first round, whether it's for a third number 1 or higher than where they are at 16, but it feels like they're stuck at 2. Like, it doesn't really feel like there's a realistic avenue
right
where the Raiders would go back to 2, unless after evaluations, the Raiders prefer Dante Moore, and they're almost like, you know what, let's try to fleece the Jets for an extra pick, and we'll get the guy we want anyway.
Possible.
Kind of like what the Celtics did with the Sixers and Jason Tatum and Markel Fultz, but I don't know how realistic that is.
In addition to the draft capital that you acquired, can you talk about some of the players in season that you got, like Harrison Phillips, Juwan Briggs, Bromley on the defensive side of the ball, and then Mechie and Mitchell?
Yeah, absolutely. Excited about those players that you just mentioned and that we were able to get those guys. Every one of those additions has its own story and how they got here. Briggsy in particular is a good one. I know in training camp we're exhausting the league, right, for any players at any position that we can add, specifically D-tackle here when we're talking about Briggs. We just added Harrison, but we're looking for some young guys as well. One of our young scouts, Thomas Whitty, identified Briggsy, brought him to our attention. We watched a ton of DTs. I know specifically Briggs, we watched him play last year at the end of the season. There was a game against Miami and Baltimore. He played well. And another one of our scouts identified him as a criteria player, Donovan Doyle, actually. So he hit a few benchmarks for us. And, you know, lucky enough for us, Cleveland had some good depth, so we were able to acquire Briggs, and I think he's been positive for us, and he's got some development growth still to come, but he's been a positive spot. One of the guys we're glad to add.
Definitely, yeah. One of the positives of Darren Mooji, bringing in some of these guys to help with this roster. We'll hear more from Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn coming up. We'll mix in some of your phone calls. It is Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash here on The Fan. Let's hear more from Darren Mooji and keep calling him what Joe calls him. Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn with some of the questions and answers as they met the media a few minutes ago.
What is your message to your fan base going forward in terms of why you guys will be successful, why you believe you will be successful?
Thank you, Bruce, for that question.
Did you say Aaron or Darren?
Both you guys.
Yeah,
both of you.
Aaron?
And I kind of answered that earlier.
Trust me, bro.
Of the fact that, man, there is belief. In Mooj, there's belief in Woody. I have belief in myself. I have belief in some of the foundational players that we have
now,
here. And listen, we're frustrated about this season. I know the fans are frustrated about it also. But that's also faith that comes with that. And that's also the fact that, man, we went through this whole year to be able to learn a ton about ourselves, about the roster, about how we can get better. And I have total confidence in that. And I want the fans to have total confidence in that also.
Why?
And it makes a huge difference being in the seat and going through it for a year on both parts.
No doubt.
It makes a huge difference of being able to have those conversations with your owner on the expectations that he have. It makes a huge difference of really knowing your roster going in for a whole year and the must, needs, and wants that you need to move forward. And being able to have that, being able to get educated on that for a whole year is huge for us. So for our fans, listen,
again,
there's a vision that we have.
What is it?
And there's a trust that we have
what
in that also.
It?
You know, and I expect and I will want our fans to have a total trust in us and being able to do that. And we have to earn that too.
Yeah.
And our plan is to do that.
Okay.
And we don't expect to have another season like this here. You know, so we're looking forward to this offseason. Looking forward to getting to work and using the draft capital that we have and the money we have in free agency to continue to build what we've been trying to build.
He's asking for advance payments that he can't cash right
now. I mean, it's the same cliches.
He doesn't say anything.
No, it's just, trust me, we learned, we're doing this.
The only thing he said is we don't expect to have another season like last year, which is the one thing you can't guarantee at all.
Yeah. Jeez. Meanwhile, I wanted to hear Darren Mooji give the answer, and it was Aaron Glenn giving the answer.
Just follow on that theme that you just mentioned with Woody.
Yep.
Coming off 3-14, how much of a greater sense of urgency do you feel from ownership?
Ooh, good question.
Improve next year?
There's always a sense of urgency.
To get more wins.
There's always a sense of urgency. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the record is, because winning is a sense of urgency in itself, and that's what the plan is to win, and. Listen, we all know Woody, and we all know he wants to win just like we do. So, yes, that is a sense of urgency from that.
That's a question for Woody Johnson.
Yes.
Hey, Woody, kind of like John Mara last year, is three wins going to be acceptable enough, even if you end up with Arch Manning next year? They got to win more games. That's a Woody Johnson question.
Do you guys want Breece Hall back?
Ooh.
We always.
Brees is a good player. I want as many good players back as we can. Like I mentioned, I met with probably 50 players yesterday. I met with Brees yesterday. Had a lot of good conversations. So we'll go through this process and we'll see how free agency unfolds. But we want to add good players.
For him, if need be.
What's that?
Is there
I won't get into hypotheticals and contracts and things like that. But we'll exhaust all the different options and see where that ends up.
Talked about synergy.
If you want Breece Hall back, and I want Breece Hall back, I raise my hand. Joe has said he wants Breece Hall back. You have the power with a pen to make it happen.
Yep.
And that doesn't mean just giving him a contract. It means you could tag him. Like, you have the ultimate power. You don't have to lose him. This isn't the Mets and Pete Alonso. Like, ultimately, if you can't agree to a long-term deal, you can always tag him. And the Jets are in a good enough position cap space-wise where it wouldn't be that damaging to them.
And good for Darren Mooji, because Aaron Glenn was about to be the first one to speak there, and Mooji jumped him for once.
Yeah, Darren's got to be more alpha here.
And that's a question for the GM.
Of course it's a question.
So I'm glad he did that.
This press conference is annoying me because it feels like Aaron Glenn won't let Darren Mooji talk, similarly to the accusations that I won't let you talk.
I talk plenty today. Tiki, stay in Florida.
I want to hear more from Mooji. I've heard from Glenn all year.
On the
defensive coordinator side,
yep,
like that. I know you're still evaluating the coaches, but do you think there'll be more changes to your staff to try to get?
I can't answer that just yet. Again, we're still going through that process, so that's a hard question to answer.
Maybe not, Aaron, maybe.
But you could answer it. And I think the guy I'm thinking of is Tanner Engstrand. Like, if you're going to draft a young quarterback and you talk about surrounding this young quarterback with the best possible options, would it make more sense to bring in an OC with more experience than Tanner Engstrand, who just had his first year calling plays? That is a fair question.
Fair.
Now, I have to guess. I think the answer is no, but it's a question that should be asked.
Not necessarily changes in terms of firing, but are you open to adding to the staff, adding coaches or guys that can help the staff?
I think this business, you're always looking to add good people. That can be your roster. That can be your staff. I'm sure Mooch will say the same thing with the personnel. You're always looking to add good people. Whoever you can add that will add value to your organization, man, you always look at that.
They're going to need to, because this offensive staff needs to be better, especially if they're going to use a top pick for a quarterback.
Obviously, you guys have been looking at quarterbacks, scouting and whatnot in the college ranks. There's an assumption that Mendoza is going to be number one. But this is more of a general question, not a personnel question. But in your experience, you know, in personnel and doing what you do, is that, do you feel like it's a no-brainer, like everybody thinks it is, that Mendoza is going to be number one? Or how many things happen between now and then?
Well, there's still several games to be played, and I think these games will be big and have an impact. And I think there's a process, and every organization is different and in a different situation. But I know that all teams in the NFL are very thorough with their process and have different, you know, tastes or likings or needs at their certain spots. It's always specific, but to a certain case. But yeah, the quarterback evaluation is a full process, I think, start to finish, with obviously the games being the most important, and a lot of that is done, so I understand the question. But there will be some exciting games here still to watch at the end.
Mooji agreeing with Sean Morash, who has said that Indiana-Oregon game will help determine draft status.
I think
he's locked in at one.
It's a big stage with two good defenses.
Okay.
It's more than the combine. You judge a guy by how they perform at the biggest moment.
Friday night.
I think that's Thursday night.
Friday night.
Is it Friday night? Did I screw that up?
You're going to make me do this to you again.
I thought Miami
college football
was
guy
night.
Gets beaten
I
by me.
I thought Friday night was the Miami.
I'm pretty sure it's Friday night. Anyhow, okay. Let's hear more
about the supporting cast you do have on offense. For if you drop a new quarterback in there, that they'd be able to succeed.
I feel good. I feel good about the offensive line. I think that's the strength of ours. It's a young group. I think with continuity in the group, they'll only continue to get better. I think we got a young tight end. I think we got a good tight end room. Obviously, we've got Garrett. We had Breece. Got a good stable back. So I feel good about the offensive support on that side of the ball.
Agreed. The thing I feel best about when someone says, "Hey, what do you feel best about with this dysfunctional mess known as the Jets?" It would be the offensive line. I think there'll be one change. I would assume John Simpson is not re-signed, but the rest of this offensive line should remain the same.
Are there any regret guys looking back on not picking a quarterback in the draft last year after seeing Dart or Shock or even mid-round flyer? Is there any sense of that was a mistake?
No, I think, you know, as we go through these processes, we do a lot of reflecting and call takeaways and lessons learned, but we're always studying historical, you know, whether it's free agency classes, draft classes, and that's part of the process, and you're hoping to learn and always comparing each class to the others.
If they had taken Jackson Dart, what would have happened? It's a great question, right?
It's a great question.
Because Aaron Glenn, Tanner Engstrand, this situation, like, what would have happened?
And we're being told Jackson Dart's coach-proof right now, right?
Right. I'm asking you. What would have happened if they took Jackson Dart and 5 weeks into the season, they're like, all right, you're the guy. Good offensive line.
I tend to think Dart would have been good with the Jets.
He would have been good. Not as good, but good.
Yeah, I think
Kafka and Daboll know what they're doing.
Exactly. I think Daboll does deserve credit, but I got the vibe right away in training camp. We met Dart. I was blown away, and I didn't think I was going to be.
Yeah.
I think it's the right attitude. Also, Evan was right Friday night.
Friday night for the, of course. I know what's going on. I do my homework.
with the state of the coming off year like this, the state of the roster and the way that things look the final three, four games of the season, how aggressive do you want to be this offseason in order to change things and infuse this roster with talent?
I think everyone wants to be aggressive but calculated with how they attack off seasons, whether that's free agency and the draft, and just knowing your team, knowing your division and what you need. It's you can say it's an aggressive approach, but it really needs to be a very calculated approach, knowing your resources, your draft resources, your cap, your future cap, and what that might look like. So, yeah, we're always going to look to add and kind of know where we might be deficient and where we might need to really add power to compete in the division.
And then how would you...
They're going to add and they're going to spend a lot of their money, but they're not going to spend all of it. Because I think when you roll over that cap number, it creates even more space the following year. So don't expect the Jets to basically use every dime this offseason.
It's preliminary, but your early reports that you've had with your pro personnel staff, how would you assess the way this free agent class could shape up? Like how it looks early on with the
players? Yeah, it is early, but we've done a lot of work and a lot of studies. But I'm going to wait until I get into that next step of that process. Again, some teams may say look strong in this week and others, and it just depends on your needs as well.
Aaron, what were you thinking in hiring Wilkes, who you didn't have a background with?
Yep.
He was fired after 1 year by Kyle Shanahan.
Before 1 year.
He plays a little different system than you, so what was the thinking?
Well, first off, I've been knowing Wilkes for a while. And to give you a really good background of that whole deal, number one, former head coach. All right, so somebody that I could bounce ideas off of. The 1 year he had in San Francisco was the same defense that we actually ran here. You know, so bringing him here and allowing him to run the same defense. I knew there were going to be some tweaks here and there. To be able to run the same defense, to me, that was intriguing.
Yeah, very intriguing.
And that was really the basis behind it. Former head coach, come here, run the same defense. So there has to be any change when it comes to that. And then I can go about managing the team. Obviously, the things didn't work out the way that we want to work out. And, you know, things like that happen. But you try to make a decision, you try to move forward, and then you try to think of the solutions you have to do to fix it.
Why not you, Aaron Glenn?
That was his best answer, though.
It was a good answer. You're explaining his rationale, but why not him? Like, I don't even think it's even been asked. Like, would you consider running the defense next year yourself? I mean, your background is as a defensive coordinator. So, I don't know. I'm curious about that.
I actually give him credit because he was trying to be, I guess, a CEO type. But, yeah, that would be the follow-up. It didn't fail. That was your strength. Don't you have to lean on that?
Yeah.
When you look back to last year, I'm sure you thought about this before today, in recent weeks.
Yeah.
Do you think you overestimated the roster? Do you think you overestimated the talent that was on the roster, whether it be that you inherited or going to training camp?
Yeah, I can't say that. I think it's a lot of, and I said this after the game, I put a lot of it on me as far as just the wins and losses, you know, and I would really say it like that. I put a lot of it on me, on the wins and losses, and I have to do a better job. And I'm not going to sit here and blame it on the roster. I'm not going to sit here and blame it on the coaching staff. I'm going to blame it on the guy that's sitting right in front of you, and I got to do a better job. And I'm always say that, you know, and until I get that the whole situation situated, then we'll be better, which I know we will next year.
I like the accountability. Yeah. The roster wasn't good enough. No. We all overrated the roster, and I give Tiki credit. I think he was the first one to call us all out about that 2 years ago when he said, maybe the Jets are just not as good as we all think they are roster-wise. So
yeah, every team has good pieces.
That was it. All right, good job there, Connor.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Town Fair Tire Studios. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
So do I feel better after that? I like Darren Mooji. I got to be honest with you. I trust him. There's a part of Mooji, based on the results in terms of the players that he's acquired, based on that, slightly, because he was a part of bringing Justin Fields in, where I have a level of trust for him. Aaron Glenn, the problem right now with Aaron Glenn is there's nothing he can say that's going to make us feel better.
No.
And so it ended up becoming, like it was at the end of the year, bumper sticker comments.
Yeah. Less is more from Aaron Glenn in that spot. Let Mooji lay out. You chime in when you have to. Him taking over shouldn't have made anybody feel better.
Now, I'm going to go to a caller. We have a full bank, but I want to go specifically to the guy on hold who's waited a while who says Aaron Glenn should have been fired. And I'm curious if listening to this has changed his opinion. If it's like, you know what? I'm good with Aaron Glenn for another year. Dylan in Manhattan, your feelings right now on Aaron Glenn coming back for year two?
Yeah, I still think he should have been fired. And thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
I just think, you know, after we traded Sauce and Quinnen, given benefit of the doubt, we're going to tank. Team played for him, but after these 5 weeks, I think he just got to go. And the thing everyone keeps saying, and you, Evan, that who's going to want the job after one and done? I think if the coach comes in, you just win games, you won't be fired. Simple as that. So I don't think firing out there this performance I think it should have happened.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying someone would want the job because the odds of them going back-to-back one and done are so low.
It's true. And your odds of being the second pick in the draft back-to-back are low.
I like that. It's a good thought. Gerald in Irvington, New Jersey. Hey, Gerald.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I have a theory. I think that I'm probably in the minority with this, but I think Aaron Glenn should come back. I don't believe in the one and done with this revolving door of head coaches that the Jets have had over the years. And I go back to the 60s, so yeah. I've seen a lot of bad Jets.
No, I'm with you. You have.
But what I also do, I would think about doing is if they draft and they know they're not going to get Mendoza and they may get Dante Moore, you got to bring in a veteran quarterback. What about Jimmy Garoppolo? He's a proven winning quarterback. No one's mentioned his name at all.
Because, I'll tell you why. Because I think the veteran caretaker is less relevant than the young gun that you're drafting. Like, do I have an issue with Jimmy Garoppolo? No. Do I have an issue with Teddy Bridgewater? No. Do I have even an issue with, like, Russell Wilson, as you guys joke about? Not really. I mean, I wouldn't want him. But my point is, it's not as important as the young guy. Now, I happen to disagree with the caretaker quarterback. I've made this argument with Tiki. I would rather bring in a Fields-like competition for my young quarterback.
Malik Willis.
Here's why I don't think it's Malik Willis. I think he's going to do better than that.
You think he's going to get paid like Darnold?
I think he's going to get paid close to Darnold, and I think he's going to be guaranteed a starting job.
Okay.
I want to bring someone in. To me, this is more valuable than Jimmy Garoppolo, than a caretaker. Is the young quarterback looking for that last opportunity to prove I can make it work here and have it be a real competition with whatever young quarterback you draft?
Tua.
Is he going to be in that spot?
I don't know. I mean, the Miami offseason is going to be weird. Yeah. And they have a lot of guaranteed money to him, so I don't know.
Let's go to Kyle in Bayshore. Hey, Kyle.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
This could actually piggyback off your last point, and I've seen a lot of negativity on Twitter about the idea, but obviously they should take more if he comes out of two.
Mm-hmm.
But one guy I think that could definitely be worth it, obviously you have to work the money out and probably a trade, Kyler Murray. I think this regime has a lot of pressure on it to perform next year, and I think he's just going to be the best option at that point.
The way I feel about Kyler Murray, and I brought this up initially when the reports came out of Arizona that they were moving on from him, and Tiki almost thought I was nuts, which is I would have liked Kyler Murray in the role I just described. If he has been humbled enough, assuming he eventually gets cut by Arizona and not traded away, because trading him away, I don't know what that does to my cap, what I have to give up, all that.
Sure.
I would prefer him in a competition role. I think Kyler Murray is accomplished enough where a team's going to give him a starting job.
I don't know, man. He needs some Febreze on him. He's got some serious stank on him.
So you think he would accept an open competition with a highly drafted young quarterback who may not be ready?
Yeah, I do.
Then bring him in.
I do.
Then I have no issue with it. That's why we have to stay away from the headline. It's not Evan wants Kyler Murray. It's Kyler Murray fits the mold of the young player to compete with whoever I draft.
Just remember, we only have 32 starting quarterback jobs. So taking the two guys that are getting drafted, all the other teams, you already think Malik Willis is getting paid. I think the other guy after that is probably Mac Jones. He's the second best off of that San Francisco stuff. You think three guys are going to emerge like this? Kyler Murray's going to be the third? I think he's going to be in a competition spot.
Gordo in Connecticut. What's shaking, Gordo?
Hey, guys, great job, great conversation. You kept asking why, give you a reason why that you stay with the team. I think very simply, if five first-round picks in 2 years, and I keep saying that, the best elixir for a bad football team is to infuse them with new talent that's not going to cost them anything, off the top of the budget. Five first-round bad picks, this is a rebuilding year. A rebuilding program. It's going to take 5 years to rebuild this program, and we've got to be patient as Jet fans. It's not going to happen next year.
Well, Darren Mooji just told us it will. He just told us we'd be better.
So did Aaron Glenn. That's why I hated those answers out of them.
I mean, are they going to be better? Now, obviously, we got to see how aggressive they are in free agency, who the quarterback is. As far as the draft picks are concerned, you are right. The magic elixir is go nail it with these five first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier said than done.
Of course.
We have seen plenty of first-round picks bust out. Like, it doesn't work.
And even when the Jets actually did the unthinkable and nailed it with three first-round picks a couple of years ago, they're still in this abyss.
Right. It doesn't guarantee you anything.
Right.
The quarterback's going to be the most important thing. Let's be honest. Let's go to Gio in Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Gio?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo.
Hey, I got a crazy proposition. And real quick, man, for the last caller, man, good point. But Kyler Murray ain't going to no damn Jets, man. Let me just leave it at that, man. I don't know what that guy. But anyway, call me crazy, man. But I got some good points right here for you, man. You can run away with this and do what you want with it.
Go
Giants. Hire who they go head coach. I want Kingsbury, but I want Robert Saleh as my DC to fix that damn problem. 1-2 Jets. Get Brian Daboll. That's a guy that wants his own quarterback and prove he can do what he can with a quarterback. You go make that coaching change right now.
I would have zero issue. In fact, I'd be excited if you told me Brian Daboll is Aaron Glenn's offensive coordinator. Here's the problem. There's multiple problems. Number one, is Daboll going to want that job? And number two, I think that was the both problems.
Yeah.
I think
it was both.
Here's the thing with Brian Daboll's next move in his career is critical because I think he can eventually get the stink off him and become a head coach again. He did win a coach of the year. Going somewhere where the coaches could be on the hot seat right away and getting fired as an OC 1 year in is going to hurt him.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Like I mentioned Brian Flores, and I tried to sell you on why the Jets make sense for Flores besides coming home is the idea of, hey, I could replace Aaron Glenn. I don't think that's the case with Brian Daboll. I don't think he comes in here and is like, I'm impressed with my offense, right, and I'll be the one to replace Aaron Glenn. The other issue is I'm highly skeptical, based on some of the answers we heard from Aaron Glenn, that they're going to replace their offensive coordinator, Tanner Engstrom. Like, I don't think that's on the table.
Right. What they can do is get a passing game coordinator,
yeah,
something like
that. I think there may be different quarterback coaches that are brought in. They're obviously bringing in a new defensive coordinator. I get that. But I don't get the sense that Tanner Engstrom is going to be removed as the offensive coordinator. And Brian Daboll's not coming here unless he's the OC.
I got one for you. Mm-hmm. He retires after this year, Aaron Rodgers.
You're funny.
Go be a quarterback coach.
By the way, do you think he's going to retire at the end of the year? Rodgers after the game in Pittsburgh seemed like a guy who was like, let's keep going.
You know what I realized after that game? I don't care if he retires or not.
Oh, you've lost the interest?
I've lost the Aaron Rodgers interest. In fact, I'm pumped up for the Steeler-Texan game, but it has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't care about him anymore.
Do you find yourself, and we're going to do this later in the week on Friday, we're going to rank all the playoff teams in terms of our rooting interest.
Oh.
Like, who we're rooting for, yeah, the reasons. Because as fans, we have weird reasons why we root for teams. Now, some people will bet, and I respect that, or play daily fantasy. Totally respect that. So there's financial reasons. I'm a dopey fan. Like, when I sit down and watch the NFL playoffs, 98% of the time, it's not about fantasy or it's about gambling. It's about my weird kind of rooting belief. So, like, for example, I'll give you a brief one. I'm obviously rooting against the Steelers. I want Aaron Rodgers gone as quickly, yeah, as humanly possible. And I kind of want to be right about my prediction that Mike Tomlin
is just the giant coach.
Is the giant head coach, a prediction I made back in June. So
just, I like Mike Tomlin.
So I am passionately rooting for the Houston Texans. Are you sitting there rooting against Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs?
No. The only team I'm rooting against is the Eagles. Can't live in a world where they're back-to-back champs.
No, I get that.
I'm actually really excited about the playoffs because I don't have a lot of hate meter on any teams other than the Eagles.
Oh, I got hate all over the place.
Really?
Yeah, the Eagles, I'm with you on because of Philly.
The
Patriots,
yeah,
obviously, and the Steelers. Like, those are the three teams and
Buffalo
situations. Kind of.
Come on. They're still in your division. Don't you want those miserable saps who think it's their right now with none of these teams to go win a Super Bowl?
This isn't about me wanting to be right about a prediction because at the end of the day, like, that doesn't even matter.
Uh-huh.
I kind of want to see them finally break through, get to the Super Bowl, and lose.
You know what? I'd love that, too.
You know what I mean?
I'd love it,
too. Like, it furthers the whole you're a loser.
But you know what? They suck at losing, too, because they'd be the first ones giving a round of applause to the team off the plane.
I don't know. This is a franchise that's already been to a Super Bowl. It's not like their curse is not getting there.
Long time, though.
I get it, but they went to 4 in a row.
Long time.
I don't know, man. Anyway, if you've missed any of the show, we got some solutions for you. You could download the Evan and Tiki podcast. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. And yes, our entire show is on YouTube. So you could simply go to the WFN YouTube page and click to whatever part of the show you want to get to.
Including when I adjusted my fly on camera.
Did you really do that?
Apparently.
By the way, look, my fly's open too.
Pull it up, man. Have some class.
You know what's weird about these jeans I have? I pull up my fly and they like don't seem to go up.
Yeah.
It's like a straight. Do you have that with certain jeans?
It's happened all day with these. It's still half down here.
Yeah, I got the same thing. Maybe it's because we're getting fat. And because our girth is keeping the...
You're getting fat. I'm getting less fat.
That's true. But we're still not meeting in the middle quite yet. We still have some room. Coming up next...
Speaking of getting fat...
Who are you talking about?
Both.
Coming up next, day 2 of the Carton Show with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will be back